normally right here is like only 4 minutes long for a Sunday, but since we have a confirmation, the homily is going to be way, way, way longer now. Now, last night they got away with just the 4 minute homily. It won't be way longer, but it'll be a little bit longer because it's a special day and we need to remind ourselves of that. So, as I was thinking about this gospel, I thought about a story back in college. I had checked out a book from the library, and I don't really recall if I read the book or not, but what I do remember is that I didn't take it back. And from time to time, I would look at the book on my desk and think, man, that's so overdue. And I felt even guiltier when I would get an email stating that the book was overdue from the library. Despite the guilt and the warnings, I ignored it. Then towards the end of the year, I received a bill. Now, I can't remember exactly how much the bill was, but I remember being unpleasantly shocked about how much I owed the library. I remember thinking, like, it doesn't even cost this much to buy the book. How could I possibly owe this much? And as the year wound to a close, I received another email from the library going out to the entire student body. The email stated that it was Amnesty Week at the library. Now, I didn't even know what amnesty meant, which is kind of embarrassing to admit considering I was a college student at the time. But one definition for amnesty is a forgetting or overlooking of any past offense. You might recognize that it's similar to our word for amnesia, where you forget the past. I couldn't believe it. I basically broke all the rules, ignored the notices all throughout the year, and the library was going to forgive me of my debt. I returned the book that day. God's forgiveness is kind of like Amnesty Week at the library, except like immensely, immensely greater than that. In our gospel, St. Peter and the apostles are still a bit stuck in the mentality of the old covenant, sort of more of an eye for an eye or a tooth for tooth approach. And we know that the number 77 or 70 times 7, depending on the translation you look at, that's Jesus taking two numbers that are symbolic for perfection, 7, 7, and explaining to the disciples that those who sin against us must be forgiven repeatedly, even infinitely. It's like, how many times do they sin? That's as much as times as you forgive. So he's really trying to impress that point upon them. And if you can recall another gospel, the gospel about the sinful woman who washes Jesus' feet with her tears and dries his feet with her own hair. The woman is outright labeled a public sinner amongst that group. They're well aware of it. But in spite of this fact, she comes to Jesus. In this instance, coming to Jesus was the most important act that she does. Once she arrives, perhaps we can think of each tear that she cries as a sin that she confesses to Jesus. Our first reading from Sirach today starts, "Wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight." That's just like an amazing description because that's exactly what we tend to do. This is the way we feel sometimes when we're immersed in sin. We're like intertwined from it. It has a grip on us and we have a grip on it. Now, have you ever cried just a lot, like so many tears that, you just didn't know when they were going to stop? And have you ever thought about how many tears it would take to wash somebody's feet? That's the kind of crying that this woman was doing, this uncontrollable crying, the kind that sort of requires like a Gatorade to rehydrate afterward. That's the love and recognition that she has for who Jesus is. Some of us carry great burdens on our shoulders, and some of us have smaller burdens, but they are all in need of forgiveness. Now is always the time to come to Jesus and let him lift these burdens. So I'll leave you kind of with a rarely known fact. Well, it's not a rarely known fact. That's kind of a little cheeky of me to say, actually. But did all of you know that we have an amnesty booth right here in the church, right back there in that corner? You know, well, we call it the confessional, but it's the same thing. Nevertheless, it's free of charge. The only admission is that you come to meet Jesus on the inside, admit what you've done wrong, and then walk out debt-free. That forgiveness, that part of the church, this is where confirmation comes in. This is where kind of a story comes in. So that wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for who Jesus is in our life. Like I said, that the sinful woman recognizes Jesus for who he is, God, the one who has the ability to forgive sins. Our youth minister, Amanda, she's heard me say this story a number of times because of the confirmations we've had lately, but that's okay because I'm going to tell it again because it's a good story. So it's unusual that I would be doing a confirmation. The bishop usually does that. That's reserved to his office. So it's kind of a privilege for me to do so. But I remember that when I used to coach rock climbing at the MAC, I had a couple of kids ask me to be their confirmation sponsor, a couple Catholic kids over the years, which was a great privilege for me. So one year we were at the cathedral, which is my registered parish. And I was a deacon that year throughout my process, so I got to serve the Mass and be a confirmation sponsor. So it was really cool. And so we were over at, Jeffrey is his name, we were over at his house with the family having dinner before the Mass. And my friend Drew, who's recently came into the church about 2 years ago, he's now the coach at the MAC. So we're kind of all, you know, forces in Jeffrey's life. So we're driving, it was me, Drew, Jeffrey, driving in the car on the way over to the cathedral. And if you're familiar with that area around the cathedral right there, right by 405, like where Chown Lighting is and Ace Hardware, you kind of get stuck at that weird light. So I have my clerics on, my collar and everything, and we're sitting at the light. And there's kind of a wild-eyed woman over to the side of the street. And then my friend Drew says, he's from South Carolina, so he has like a little bit of a drawl. He's like, oh no, man, she saw you. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I didn't know what he was talking about. And then she proceeds to walk across traffic. So she walked, we're the first ones at the light. She walks across traffic. She steps right in the front of my car. And I'm just thinking like, I have no idea what she's going to do here. And she just stands in front of the car and she just goes, resurrection. And so I just waved because I was like, what do you do? Like, I had no idea what to do. So I was just like, hi. And then she just walked. She walked to the other side of the street. We all sort of looked at each other and they were like, well, that was unusual. So then we proceed to go to the cathedral. So we're at the cathedral and we're all sitting together like you guys are today, Olivia. And so like, we're just sitting there. And then Archbishop Sample does much what I'm doing now. He comes down for the homily. And he steps down, he's kind of walking the aisles and talking to all the confirmandi, and he's just saying, there's one reason that we're here today. Can anybody tell me the one reason that we're here today? And, you know, like a couple people get it wrong, and I tried this, you know, nobody wants to raise their hand and, you know, be wrong in front of everybody. But a few brave people tried. So the first three people were wrong. And then finally somebody kind of like whispers, they're like, the resurrection? You know, and then he's like, that's it. The one reason we're here is the resurrection. And then I like look over at Jeffrey and Jeffrey looks over at me and we look over at Drew on the other side and we were like, that lady's like a street prophet. I just can't believe it. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. The one key topic of the homily for the Archbishop that day was the reason that we're here is the resurrection. And that's the one word that lady said to us. It was one of the weirdest experiences of my life, really, in ministries. And, but that is the point. The reason that we're here is because Jesus really existed. One of the hard things for us today as Catholics, as Christians just in general, is that people really doubt the credibility of Jesus ever even being on this earth, of any of that stuff ever happening. But we know from history, there's more documentation, there is more copies of the letters in Scripture, of the Gospels, all of these things, than most of the ancient documents that we would never doubt. Like, I can't remember the example, but it's something like the Odyssey. There's like 200 or 300 copies of like Homer's Odyssey or something like that. There's like 20,000 of some of the letters of scriptures in terms of the circulation and the amount that they were preserved. So the early Christian community, we have all of these sites built over where Jesus was by their followers. So Jesus being born of Mary, coming to this earth, preaching for 3 years in his ministry, and then actually dying and being crucified on the cross in front of hundreds of people, and then being recorded by the apostles, and then the apostles to the apostles, the early church fathers, they all saw this actually happen. And then what happens? 3 days after his death, he rises again, and they see him. All the, and again, in front of hundreds of people, when he's risen again and he's on the earth for 40 days until he ascends into heaven, lots and lots of people saw him with the wounds that he has in his hands and in his side. Jesus actually exists. And because he rises and goes to heaven, that's the reason that we're all here today in this church, to celebrate Jesus. And the one most important thing that he leaves behind to us is he leaves behind the Eucharist. He leaves us the Eucharist. And remember, there's that famous story on the road to Emmaus. So on the road to Emmaus, after Jesus has been raised, there's two Christians walking on the road. And then a man joins them. It's Jesus, but it says they don't recognize him. So they're talking on the road for a while. And then they said, and then their eyes were not opened until the breaking of the bread. He celebrates the Eucharist. Then they recognize that it's actually Jesus. And then it says he vanishes from their sight. This is one of the many appearances Jesus does after he's resurrected. And that's what he gives us today. And then the other most important thing that he does is the reason that we confirm is because people were already being baptized. But then once Jesus ascends into heaven, he sends down the Holy Spirit upon Mary and the apostles to be with them to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so after that, you see in the Acts of the Apostles, Paul and the other disciples, they lay their hands on people and say, receive the Holy Spirit. The words that we use for confirmation is be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. So those are two integral parts that Jesus does. So he gets baptized in the water and commands his disciples to baptize. And so you're baptized in water, and then you're baptized in spirit. That's what confirmation is. Those are integral parts that Jesus gave us specifically. And that's the one reminder I want us all to think about today. I always say this about sacraments. Sacraments are visible signs of an invisible reality. That's like the basic definition of sacraments. So today, we'll see Olivia get anointed with oil and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we use physical things, the oil that I have right here. You know, when baptism comes, we have a baptismal font and water. The Lord uses physical things that we can touch and that we know from our life on earth to give us his grace, which is invisible to our eyes. And the same thing when we consecrate the Eucharist here on this altar. Normal, simple things that we see every day, bread and wine, they become the real body and blood of Jesus Christ. The one who created everything can change matter itself and make it still appear as something else. That's an amazing, amazing thing. But if God really is who he is, if he's the creator, that's a tiny miracle. That's an easy miracle for God. But sometimes it's really hard for us to accept as human beings. But remember, our church has a long tradition, a long, long tradition, over 2,000 years old. And we use these signs and symbols to actually receive real grace from God. Always remember that the human person is composed of body and soul. not like a recipe, like 50% body, 50% soul. I had a professor say one time, if we had a better word for it, it would be like body soul. It's like intertwined. We are a body and soul so intermixed and intertwined with each other. So we live on this earth with normal human things that we do. But always have to remember that our life needs to be oriented towards the next life in heaven, the spiritual life. And so be thrilled that you are a Catholic, because we still use all of these sacraments and signs. The sacraments are what Jesus leaves behind to his church on earth to carry on his ministry. Constant reminders of us, of God's grace flowing in us. And like I mentioned about the confessional, if there's a mortal sin, if there's sin on your soul, sin blocks grace. So what we're trying to do in our Christian life is we're trying to be open. And that's what you have to be to receive the Holy Spirit. You have to be open. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't even have to know that much about your faith. But you have to be open to receiving the Spirit. And if you could just do that, if you can do that, go to confession. Block the static of the world. Then you can receive the grace. And that's how you function like the supercharged version of yourself, is by eradicating sin from your life and then being able to receive grace as much as you can in the sacraments. That's why, like, a lot of people here come to daily Mass. When there's not a pandemic going around, there's like around 200 people that go to daily Mass here. That's a miracle. That's a grace. There's usually 20 or 30 in most churches around the United States. So for all of us to be here today, that's a great grace. So we receive the Eucharist, and then we also call down the Spirit to be with Olivia today. So it's an amazing, amazing day. Never forget that about being Catholic, that we have a great privilege, and there's so many signs and symbols that give us the grace of God. So now